following podcast is a presentation of Sunridge Community Church.
I want to just pick up on a series that we're in called Improv. And we're just kind of walking through the book of Proverbs. And there's these, really, just these nuggets that really serve us well as we want to do life in a way that's God-honoring. Today, I want to do something a little bit different and a little bit unique. But I want to start by just addressing an article that I came across in Maclean's magazine this month. And the title of the article, May 10th, is "Do Atheists Care Less?" And this whole article has to do with the way people give, the way that people take their money and give it away. And so this article is really interesting to me because it's saying those people that actually attend religious services of some type are more generous than those who don't. This comes out of a study that apparently was done last summer by Stats Canada, and they released that basically less than one in five actually attend a religious service. I think that, you know, they are obviously looking at the Canada landscape and religion being in trouble. They start the article by talking about the problem with the Pope and some of the practices of indiscretion. And, I mean, as far as the church and the reputation of the church go, like, it's not good. So then they'll go on into this article and they just talk about, it's an interesting thing though, because as they see and as they did this study, the average churchgoer or religious person, they give on annual amount of $1,038 a year. That's what this study shows. Those that don't, they give $295. So this guy who's writing this article, he's basically trying to understand why. Why is that? Not only is it about money, but it's about volunteerism. And he goes on to say, with respect to volunteer effort, 2/3 of churchgoers give their time to nonprofit causes, while only 43% of non-attenders do likewise. And those that actually do in the church, give of their time, they put in twice as many hours. So this is really an interesting force that this guy in this article is addressing. There's a couple of authors. I'll just be brief wrapping this up. They talk specifically in regards to the whole Catholic Church problem. He goes on to say, I'm an atheist. And he says, I'm not just neutral about religion. I'm hostile to it. I think it's positively bad idea, not just a false one. And so their argument is that the world would be a better place if there were without churches. So again, this guy who has no faith, he asks this question, then how does one explain the mammoth gap between the charitable acts of those who believe and those who don't? Good question, right? Further, he says, what would actually happen to our world if the church just vanished? Voila. What would happen? Where would all of the help and the donation, where would that all come from? So that question has stirred, and I love this, because, I don't know, I just love it. So this past January, there's a group of atheists, and maybe you're an atheist and you're here today too. Welcome to Sunridge, really. I do mean that, sincerely. But this is what happened. There is a group of atheists that didn't like this study. So they said, okay, by golly, everybody likes that term. My kids are giving me a hard time. I said that a couple of weeks ago, and they said, Dad, you sound so old when you say by golly. Well, by golly, they started this foundation. It's called Foundation Beyond Belief. Here's their mission statement. Encourage and demonstrate the generosity and compassion of atheists and humanists. Okay, so there's this whole new thing. It's starting. They got, get this, 447 members. Do the math with me. They've collected so far, they've raised so far $18,000. And the last line of this article is about 18 churchgoers. Interesting. they've collected through 447 members, 18 grand, or 18 people that go to church. This is an interesting thing. I want to talk with us, quite frankly, today about this thing, why do we give? And so there's a verse in the book of Proverbs that says this, chapter 19, verse 17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. That's what I want to ask this morning. What is it that motivates us to give? Why do we give? Before we take an offering here at Sun Ridge, quite often what we do is we say something like this. We're about to take an offering. For those of you that are new here, we don't want you to feel any obligation to give. And the reason we say that is because we want you to know that we really care about you, and we don't want the money thing to somehow be something you feel we're more interested in than you. We go on with our statement, quite honestly, almost weekly, and that is, this is for those that make Sun Ridge their home. Because there is something about a follower of Jesus as we do give our offering. And so we've always, you know, for 12 years, we've said some kind of a statement like that. There's others of us that were here, and every time that bucket goes by, we feel a little uncomfortable. Would that be true? It's true. I think it is. I think there's some of us, we just feel embarrassed because it's the bucket. And you know, there's something going on there. And I think it's just okay for us to just say that out loud. Let's start from what I would like to do this morning is just kind of walk from kind of the bottom level almost of the motivation why people give to a couple of levels above that. And I would say that the first level as to why we actually give it all, and certainly what this article was addressing, it would be the level of self-interest. Self-interest is the level which we pay to play. This is the level by which, you know, if you are a hockey player, you have to ante up because ice time costs money and referees cost money, and if you want to play hockey, you need to pay. This is the golf membership, the tennis membership. This is the motivation for people. It's out of self-interest. That is, we pay to keep the doors open as to what it is that we enjoy. And so this really easily translates right into what people think about the church. People attend a church. They like the church that they're attending. They like that it's there. They feel like it's home. They have their kids looked after, students, the teaching, the music. It's their church, and they want their church to continue. So out of self-interest, really, they will give. And they will give based on the fact that if they don't, that will be a problem. There's a story. I want to just underline this a little bit. It's an interesting thing. Acts, the book of Acts, New Testament, the church has just exploded into existence, really. But then trouble comes and persecution happens. And the spreading of the disciples and the apostles takes place. And in the spreading, there's a guy named Philip, and he goes into a city in Samaria, and he's just lifting the message of Jesus Christ. There's a man in this city. I want us to just read a little bit about it. Acts chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, verse 9. Here's the story. Now in that city was a man named Simon, who had been practicing magic and amazing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. Well, all the people, from the least to the greatest, they paid close attention to him, saying, well, this man is the power of God. That is called great. And they paid close attention to him because, well, he amazed them for a long time with his magic. So here's the deal. Simon, he's doing real tricks. And he's gaining quite a following, and it's become quite profitable. But all of this is about to be changed. It says in verse 12, but when they believed Philip, now again, Philip came, preaching Jesus, when they believed Philip as he was proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they began to be baptized, both men and women. Just on the side, it's at the beginning of a spiritual journey where people were baptized. Some of you, you're in the beginnings of your spiritual journey. You've reached out your hand and you've accepted the hand of Jesus and the forgiveness of sin. And you're wondering, is baptism really something I should do? And my answer is, yes, it should. Carrying on the story. Verse 13. Even Simon himself believed. And after he was baptized, he stayed close to Philip constantly. You wonder why. And when he saw the signs and great miracles that were occurring, he was amazed. So here's what's happening. A great revival is taking place. People hear this good news that Philip is saying about the person of Jesus and the work of Jesus and what he did on the cross. And people's lives, they change. They believe. They're baptized. And so here we have this guy named Simon that did tricks. And he was great. And people thought he was great. And he's not leaving Philip's side. Verse 18, now Simon, when he saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, offered them money, saying, give me this power too, so that everyone I place my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. I'm going to stop the story there. But basically what he wants is, sell me your secret. And this didn't go over really well at all. But friends, understand that at the foundation of what Simon is thinking and what some people think, We give of our money out of self-interest. Because if we don't give, something will stop. And if it stops, that's going to bother us. So we give. And really, friends, this is a basic level, isn't it? This is a basic level of motivation. It's basically to keep the doors open. And I want you to just say, I want to just say this to you. You have to understand that the Bible has nothing to say about this. Bible doesn't even start here. It gives us a story of the person of Simon. But it's never calling you and I to this level of motivation as to why we give. Bible actually starts at the next level. And this is the level that we're just going to simply call gratitude. Gratitude. Okay? Gratitude. There's a verse in Psalm 116:12 that says, what can I give back to God for all that he has given to me? Friends, I love this. The starting point for why we would give always needs to be tied to response to what Jesus has done on the cross. Always tied to a response to what Jesus has done for you and I. And so when you see this clearly, and when you understand what it is that God has done through the person and the work of Jesus Christ, when you understand that, it grips you. And it changes you. And you think a lot about it. But then there's something that starts to happen. Not only is it that you've opened up your heart to Jesus, there's something you want to respond. So you start opening up your heart a little bit with spiritual gratitude. And the Bible says that when God saw your sin and saw my sin, and he didn't look away, but he took care of the problem. And when we understand that Jesus went to the cross, and he died, and his blood was shed, and his body was broken, and all of that was so that he could just voluntarily take care of the sin problem in your and my life. When we understand the miracle of the cross, friends, and we trust Jesus, we not only become a follower of Jesus where our sins are forgiven, but the Holy Spirit does a work in our heart. And what that work is, there is something that is moved and you're motivated and it's emotional because there's something you understand. There was sin that I actually deserved to have paid for myself, but Jesus, you took care of that. How can I give back to you some kind of a thank you for the grace you've given to me. And so when we start to feel this gracious response because of we understand what Jesus has done for us, this is an awful lot more than just giving some money because of self-interest. At this particular point, followers of Jesus, we don't just give money, you know, to God. What we are doing is we're actually trying to display gratitude. We're giving because we want to say, God, thank you. Thank you for our amazing grace. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for giving something within me. My heart is starting to feel things it's never felt before. And that's an awful lot different than giving to a church budget. Completely different. This is an important level. The Bible does speak of it. But there's another level, and I want to spend some time on this one. It's the third level. And this is the level we're just going to call obedience. Obedience. We're really into art around here, so I'm going to put this thing up at the back hallway there so that, and I'm going to put a little bit of my signature on this thing too. I just do want to remind us as a church that we would love to see art as an expression of worship. And again, I just invite you, if that's something that you want to do and explore, do that. Maybe it's during the service. I had my daughter here a few weeks ago, just did a painting. We've had Sarah as well doing a painting. We would love that would be normal and not special. It would be normal. So if that's you, I just invite that. So my daughter and others, they've set the bar pretty high. I just set the bar pretty low. Okay? I want to talk a little bit about spiritual obedience and what it is that's really going on here. There's a passage in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is in transit. Jesus is moving. Jesus is active. He's doing a lot of different things. And then he meets this man. And this is the story. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. It starts, when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Now, a centurion is a Roman soldier. Now, you can imagine what that must have looked like, felt like. But this soldier, this scary, equipped, uniformed Roman centurion comes to Jesus and says, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed in terrible anguish. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. He's saying on second thought, this went a little faster than I had anticipated. I can't have you do that because I'm not even worthy to have you in my home. That's a pretty humble statement, isn't it? For a soldier, a centurion. And this is what he says. Instead, just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I say to this one, go and he goes, and to another, come and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those who followed him, I tell you the truth, I've not found such faith in anyone in Israel. Now, this level of motivation, this level as to why we would give, this is very, very different from the previous levels. The previous level of spiritual gratitude, I mean, this is where we say, thank you, God. Thank you for what you've done. Where you open up your heart and you open up your hands and you just want to express gratitude to God. But on this level, this is a different level. This is when a follower of Jesus gets very specific and they say, God, okay, what would you have me give? Because if you say it, I'll do it. This is a very different level. And I remember when I first came across this story and that statement of that centurion, I remember just in my own heart saying, I really want to be like that. I want my life to be a just say the word kind of guy. I like that. I mean, you just say it, and it's done. And that's a big difference in the way my life was previous to that. I just remember thinking, boy, you know, there's some things I've got. I've been a Christian long enough now. God, what is it that you've said you want from me? And I haven't actually been obedient fully. I may be a lot of self-interest in this. I might even have a lot of gratitude. I may even shed the odd tear. What is it that you're asking me to do? Because I want to be like that guy. Just say the word, kind of follower. You say it, I'll do it, and I'll trust you with where you take my life. So, when you open up your Bible, there are some things that God says to you and I want to just serve these up, and you can decide for yourself what it is that this means for you. This is what it meant for me. Right away, I saw that there was something clearly in God's word, and it had to do with somehow a generosity that ought to be at the heart of what it is as to why I give. Further, there is something, and this can go all over the map, and I'm not here to defend or debate anything, but for me personally, I really do believe that there's something about a percentage. There's something about a what they call a tithe. It's a tenth, literally. But there's something about this percentage that God says he wants. God asks followers, look, you know, I'm allowing you to earn, honor me with what it is that you've earned with a tenth or a tithe so that the work of God continues, so that the church is able to move and do what it does, and so that there's something that is kingdom advancing. And so this is the way that, you know, we understand it here as to how that all works. So, you know, in brief, you know, we've come through quite a season, you know, as a church, and we try and keep you informed as to where we are as a church, but this last 09 into 2010 has been probably, financially speaking, one of the hardest years we've experienced as a church in probably our 12-year history. And, I mean, we so you are aware of, we have a great family that we belong to in the sense of a denomination. And as any of you that have been around here long enough, we're not a big flag-waving denominational church, but we are a part of a denomination. And it's an awesome denomination. It's the Mennonite Brethren. And so we were able to, in 01, buy this property in this building. And they really helped us get into this property in this building. And so we've been able to, you know, have a mortgage through them as well. First time in history, we've not been able to pay our mortgage. So for about the last, Magnus would know the details fully, but I think 6 months, we have not paid our mortgage. And they're okay with that for a while. We're getting ourselves back to a point where we actually feel like we are living within our means. We've had to let go of staff. We've had to make some cuts. Brian and I are part-time. Brian, actually, for the summer, is going to be at Green Bay. So you'll see less of him around, and he'll be back in September. Our ministries, yeah. So that's just the way it is within this community we call Sun Ridge. And so there is something that God asks of us. And it's something that each of us are going to have to just kind of deal with. And then he says these strong words. I'm going to read the strong words. It's from the book of Malachi. For any of you that have been around church for a while, you'll hear, oh boy, here, pastor, he's going to start to go after the Malachi passage. Well, yeah, I am. Here we go. Malachi 3:8. This is what it says. God's upset. And he's upset with his people. And he says, can a person rob God? You indeed are robbing me. But you say, well, how are we robbing you? Answer, in tithes, contributions. Last thing I want us to become is legalistic. At the same time, I just pray that God's Spirit would just speak exactly what needs to be said in your heart. So I'm going to continue to read. You are bound for judgment because you are robbing me. This whole nation is guilty. Bring the entire tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my temple. I love this line because it says, test me. I don't know if there's another place in Scripture where God says that. I could be wrong. I don't know of it. Test me in this matter, says the Lord, who rules over all, to see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until there's no room for it all. So there's this percentage that God blesses us with that we give and worship and honor. And yes, out of gratitude, but it's more than that. It's actually out of obedience now. It's a different level. It's something that we just say the word, God. And that's it for me. And then this, there's something that God does, and he says, you know, if you believe me, if you trust me, if you test me in this, watch what I will do. I'm not going to supply your every want, but I really do believe. I do. I really do believe. I believe that when we trust God with his word and we honor him in this way, friends, I believe our needs are met. Even when it's hard, there's something about, I don't know why it's the 11 and a half hour, but it's like, oh God, you showed up. You showed up. I was getting ready for pulling pins. I was ready for, but you, I just believe. I believe. And I want you to experience God's provision and blessing in your life too. And I don't know where you're at in your journey. Maybe some of you are here. Maybe some of you are here. I know that we wouldn't exist if many of you weren't here as a church. But there's just something that there's a promise that God says, I will bless you and I will supply your needs if you honor me. That's a faith step. That's a crazy faith step because I know for many of you and for myself, we're in financial times where it's been as hard as it's ever been. I know because I talk to you. And yet there's something that I just believe to my toes. If we honor God, I believe his promise will hold true. And it's not why we do it. It's out of obedience. Just say the word, God, and I'll do it. There's another kind of giving on top of a tithe that I just want to address in brief. And it's something called a free will offering, scriptures say. They talk about a free will offering. What's that? Well, this means that from time to time, beyond the tithe, there's actually from time to time, God is going to move in your heart, whether it be World Vision or the fundraiser that we just did in Kelowna, whatever that may be. There's from time to time, your heart is just moved to give, and there's a prompting for you to obey. It's something called a free will offering. It's something that is over and above our tithe, and we would give that, and we should give that, because we want to be giving out of an obedient heart. And if the Holy Spirit is really calling us to that, that's what we really should do. Now, at this level of obedience in life, you know, we're obedient to the tithe, we're obedient to free will offerings from time to time. I mean, that's just the way life is as God has asked of us. And we are just giving out of obedience. Just say the word kind of followers. And when you reach this level, giving is so much different, friends, than just paying dues. And it is so much different than just every now and then you feel an overwhelming feeling to give some money to something out of gratitude. It's different than that. It's because when people are here, you understand the world is broken. You understand the world is in trouble. And you know enough to say, I believe that the gospel, I believe that Jesus should be known by people. I believe that the church should be engaged in mission, doing tangible acts of love. I know that we ought to be doing this, and I am going to be an obedient giver as to why I give. Because I see the world, and I see the state. And if something doesn't change, current course and speed, it's a big problem. So it connects deeply with us. And we want to be on board with that. So as we do love our city, June 19th is just a simple event. I would like to believe we would never just somehow check off the list, okay, done that, don't have to do that anymore. We're called to love our city. And so we're going to love our city as we love ourselves. Half the people are going to stay here and clean up at their request, and half of us are going to go out and clean up at their request. 9 to 12. We want to love our city in the name of Jesus because we understand that for the church to really advance kingdom, for the church to really be a group of people that moves forward, this is what it's going to take. This is what it's going to take. And let me just end my message with just simply, you know, if there's something that I would put all of this as the foundation of all of this, it has to be, friends. It just has to be built on the foundation of love. It just does. Because if we miss this, this becomes very easily Pharisaical. This is, well, whenever we're moved enough, we'll write a check. This is why I think that there's something so important about the foundation of all of this being on the foundation of love. I want to end with one story from John chapter 12. John chapter 12 is an interesting story simply because Jesus was invited to a dinner party, and there was a number of religious people at the table. And in, during this dinner, slips a woman, a previous poor prostitute. And she slips into the room, and she has in her hand this very expensive bottle of perfume, and she goes over to Jesus, and she kneels down at Jesus' feet, and she starts to pour out this perfume, like all over his feet. And it's pretty quiet in the room. There's some crazy situational conversation just after she leaves the room, but after she's done pouring this expensive perfume on the feet of Jesus, she gets up and she leaves. And I could just imagine, you know, what it must have been like, because a story like that is going to travel. And so someone on the street, you know, bumps into this previous prostitute that has trusted Jesus, sins forgiven, cleaned up, life changed. Absolutely, there's a heart of gratitude. Absolutely. Well, life is different. And then someone bumps up to her next day. Said, what was that about? You haven't got anything. You have no money. And you took this expensive bottle of perfume. You just poured it over his feet? Sounds pretty foolish to me. You know what I think that lady would say? Yeah, maybe it was foolish. Maybe I should have done something different. But I'm telling you, Jesus forgave my sin. My past is forgiven. My future is secure. Yeah, call it crazy. But love made me do it. You know, people of Sunridge, I really do pray we would come to a place where we'd see really, really clearly a blood-stained cross. And we would scratch our heads every now and then just wondering, what was it that would have motivated the God of heaven to come down to earth, to become a human being, to go through all of the garbage, voluntarily allow himself to be put onto a cross and murdered violently? Why? Why? Why would Jesus do that? And I would pray that you would hear the whisper of God say, yeah, I call it crazy, but love made me do it. And you know, think about this, friends. Imagine with me. If as a group of people, we'd get real clear on this, we'd get real clear. Whether it's loving our city, we had a great request from a school. We're going to try and investigate how we can love them. The fundraiser that we just did with grade 12 students at KSS and Shannon Tara's leadership there. When we get real clear on this, and we understand our heart and our hands are to be the hands and the heart of Jesus, made tangibly as we love people, when we get really, really clear on this and resources start to flow freely, and people come up to you and I, and they would say, you know, that church down the street, what's its name? Oh, yeah, the Sunny Ridge, you know. That's not a real big church, is it? No, we're not really into big. we're into effective. But they would say, maybe, how is it that such a church can be so generous? Man, I hope humbly we'd be able to say, love makes us do it. As I pray, worship team, would you come on up? Father in heaven, I just pray right now that as we've talked, I hope as clear and as obedient as I can. I pray that there would be a softening of hearts, softening of minds. I pray, God, that there'd be something within us that would ask ourselves the question, you know, where am I on that page? Why do I give? Is it self-interest? God, if that's where it is, I pray that you would help people move. If it's spiritual gratitude, God, I just celebrate that because I think that there's something good you're doing in people's hearts when we do give out of spiritual gratitude, because we do acknowledge you've been only good to us. And there's times where we just feel overwhelmed and we want to give because we feel it deeply. But God, I would pray for every person here. We would look really carefully at what it is you've asked of us, and that we would move, we would grow, we would take steps toward becoming obedient when it comes to why we give. And I would pray, wouldn't it be something, God, if we would only all become just say the word kind of followers. I pray as a church, it would be true. We would be men and women. We would be students, boys and girls, where we would just, it's just a natural thing that we give of our time, we give of our money. And because we love you, God, and because we love the people around us. And we'd know very, very clearly it's because love, Jesus, it's because of love that we do it. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So now, God, may you bless and keep these people. May you smile on them, be gracious to them, show your favor to them, give to them your peace and protection, so that as a people, we would be generous. And in that generosity, we would somehow spread the fame and the reputation of our great God. In Jesus' name, amen.